If you'd like to follow along, please turn to the first chapter of Colossians. First chapter of Colossians. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 12. So I have to take that back. The sentence doesn't start to chapter to verse 9, so I'm going to start back there. Besides, it's all good. It's all good. Verse 9, Colossians 1. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. I'm going to stop right there because I got to. I just keep reading. Oh. We speak and we preach a lot, rightly so, about what God has done for us in his Son. The Bible, the Old Testament, and the New Testament, and the gospel in particular, is filled to the overflowing with the work of the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, and that work for the child of God. However, we don't lessen, and we don't want to leave out, what God has done to the believer. Because make no mistake about it, the believer is different than the unbeliever. The believer, and what I'm talking about is someone who has been brought into Christ. Not just chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. We were. Every believer was. But there are those out there who right now don't believe. And there is a difference between the unbeliever and the believer. Even in the elect unbeliever. That's just the way it is. And this is one of these passages that I've got to. Paul, my title here is Made Us Meet. I like that thought. That thought caught me. And I just really kind of grabbed hold of it. I mean, there's so much here. In Colossians, the first chapter, it's just ridiculous. But I don't know how Paul wrote all this stuff down. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, I do. The Holy Spirit led him to write this. Because, I mean, there's just a concentrated amount of gospel in this first chapter that is just hard to believe. Don't worry. Most people won't believe it. But believers will. The believer is different than the unbeliever because the believer is in Christ, brought into him by grace through faith and believes the truth. And the believer is a new creature, a new creation. Things are different to the believer because the believer is different than the unbeliever he used to be. We all used to be there. Every believer used to be an unbeliever. That's the thing the world wants to let go of, see? And they don't want to think about. Because there's a change in you made by God to where now you believe what you once ridiculed. Now, some people want to preach that you can forget that and go away from God and reject your salvation. Well, I'm here to tell you, you can reject your salvation, but you can't reject His.
Amen.
He won't have it. Because He's the one that gave it to you. Now, if you got your own, you can reject your own. Enjoy the heck out of yourself. Don't ask me what the value of that is, because I have no idea. Because I remember what I was like as an unbeliever. I don't want to be that way anymore. I don't want to disbelieve God or His Word. Not anymore. I did that for 23 years. And sure, at the time, I thought I was fine. But I found out I wasn't. And now, I found out that God has made me meet to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in life. And I'm going to tell you something. He's made us meet here. Here. Right here and right now. Now, I do want to make very clear, I am not boasting in myself, and I'm not going to boast on you. Even though it may sound that way. Who I'm boasting in is my glorious Lord Jesus Christ. And His Father, whose will He did, what? To make us meet. Ah, because it's the Father, the Son, and the Spirit who's made us meet. Verse 12 starts off this way, and I love this. Giving thanks unto the Father. Giving thanks unto the Father. For what? Well, essentially, everything. Everything. Because here it is. Everything starts with the Father. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the Son was there. You can read that in John chapter 1. But here, everything starts with the Father, everything continues with the Father, and everything with the Father shall never end. And you can say that exact same statement and substitute the Son. And you can say that exact same statement and substitute the Spirit. Because everything starts with God, continues with God, and shall ever continue. It never ends. The covenant, the testament of salvation, starts, continues, and will never end. With the Father. It starts with the Father. The Son came to do the will of the Father. The Spirit came and applied it to you. To every believer who believes. The Son is the Father's elect, His chosen. The Son is the Father's mediator. Yes, He's our mediator. But more importantly, He's our mediator to God. He's God's mediator. God's the offended party. We're not. We're the offenders. We're the sinners. We're the ones who can't stand in His presence. But He came to mediate us to the Father. The Son is the Father's sacrifice, substitute, burnt offering, and reconciler. Because we've been reconciled, who? To who? The Father. By the Son. Now be ye reconciled to God. Guess what? Believers have reconciled themselves to God. Believers have stopped fighting against God. How's that possible? He made us meet.
Yeah.
He made us meet. The Father's purpose, the Father's will, the Father's word, and the Father's work is supreme. Because all of Christ Jesus' offering, all his sacrifice, was not to us. It was to the Father. Read Hebrews. It'll tell you. He offered himself to the Father and was accepted. Perfectly and completely accepted. Because the Son never did anything against the Father's will. I can tell you this right now. The Son is not doing anything against the Father's will. And he never shall do anything against the Father's will. I and my Father are one. And you understand? That's in the present tense. And guess what? It's just as true today as it was 2,000 years ago. And it'll be just as true 2,000 years from now if this world runs around that long. It doesn't matter. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit all agree in one. They are one. And here, while he was on this earth, what's it say? Giving thanks unto the Father? The Son gave thanks to the Father while he was on this world. Now, it was a strange thing he picked to thank him for, one of them. Walter, you preached on this once. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit. He rejoiced in spirit. I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast what? Hid these things. Jesus Christ rejoiced that some things were hid. And you know, he thanked God. He thanked the Father that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. But that wasn't all he thanked God for. And hast revealed them unto babes. Why would God do something like that? Hide things and reveal things. Hide things from one and reveal them to another.
Right.
That's what he's saying. You know why he said that? Because that's what God does.
Amen.
For so it seemed good in thy sight. In thy sight. The other time I found where Jesus Christ thanked the Father was at the grave of Lazarus. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. This is John 11:41. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. No surprise there. That's what Christ said next. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. He was getting ready to raise Lazarus from the dead. And I'll tell you, folks, that's a picture of salvation. Because we were dead, alien sinners as unbelievers. That's what an unbeliever is. Unbeliever is, I guess, a nicer way of saying you're dead and you stink. What did he tell him? Don't roll away the stone. He's been dead 4 days. He stinks by now. Folks, we used to stink. We were a stench. Where? In the nostrils of God. But God, the Father, always hears his Son. And that is our hope. Our Son. His Son. Our Lord. That's our hope. That's our hope. And he said, roll away the stone. And he called Lazarus by name. And when he said Lazarus' name, Lazarus was alive.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says. When he calls you by name, you're going to live.
Right.
When you hear the voice of the Son of God, though you're dead, you'll live.
Amen.
And he heard his name being called. and he lived. Then he said, come forth.
Yeah.
And he came forth, still bound in grave clothes. I thank thee, Father, that thou hast heard me. I'm going to tell you something. Every unbeliever that is elect is going to come forth, still bound in grave clothes at first.
Yeah.
Still bound in the past. Well, you got yeah. You know, I told Walter years and years ago, 3 decades ago, that I was glad sometimes that I'd been raised Catholic because I didn't have that much to unlearn. Now, it's not because there's not a lot there. It's just because I never bothered to learn it when I was a Catholic. I learned more about the Catholic Church after I got out of it than when I was in it. But I didn't have that much baggage to throw away. Because you can come bound in the baggage of Pentecostalism. You can come bound in the baggage and the bondage of being a Baptist.
Right. That's right.
Right.
No, there's all kind of bondage.
Yes.
Every one of man's religion is nothing but a bondage.
Amen. That's right.
But praise God, the Father heard the Son when he said, loose him and let him go. That's right. And when he went to that Gadarene demoniac, he didn't go there to bind him. Because bondage is never the answer. It's the answer men use because it's all we got. That's all we have. All we can do as men is bind other men with rules and commandments. They use them as a bondage. Now the commandments do tell you to shut up and see your guilt. Because it's not only what you do, it's what you think. And you don't ever forget, thou shalt not covet. Because coveting ain't doing anything. It's just thinking about doing something. It's an evil thought which proceeds out of the heart of a man. And it's a sin just as much as anything else. Those commandments are there to tell you you're guilty before God. And you better have the Son to say, loose him and let him go, or you're still going to be bound. Give thanks to the Father. Why? Because he hides and he reveals. Give thanks to the Father. Why? Because he always hears his Son.
Amen.
You know? And what's it say our Lord Jesus Christ is doing now? He ever liveth to make intercession for us. And you know who hears him make intercession for us? His Father hears every word. And you know what? He does everything the Son says. And the Son does everything the Father says. And the Spirit does everything all of them say.
Amen. That's right.
These three are one. Give thanks to the Father. Why? Because he's put us in his Son. And he'll hear us. In Christ. In Christ. When you go, ask of my Father. Christ said, in my name. In my name. Pray to the Father. In my name. Now, it's not what you want. It's what the Father wills. Because I can tell you this. God will answer the prayer of every believer. I believe that wholeheartedly. But I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes the answer is no. Because the Scripture tells us that too. James is very clear. He says, the reason you don't get the answer you want is because you ask amiss.
Yes, we do.
That's us. Even now. But give thanks to the Father. Give thanks to the Father for what he's done. And give thanks to the Father for what the Son's done. And give thanks to the Father for the Holy Spirit of God. Because give thanks to God, which hath made us meet. Now, just the fact, very carefully, very quickly, just the fact that God said he made us meet means that at one time we were not meat.
Right.
Just, you know, if we were meat, there would have been no reason for him to make us meat.
Right.
And Paul says very clearly, it's us. And I mean every one of us. And this is us as believers now. This is who this is. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. To believers. That's who he's writing to. He has made believers meet. Now, like I said, the fact that he had to make us meet means that we weren't meet. Let's just say it as it is. Because we talk about total depravity. And rightly so. But here's what it means. Man cannot even appear before God in his natural state. Can't happen. Now, it can't happen not because of you, because God won't have it. You understand? God's not going to permit any unholiness in his sight. He's not going to have any unholiness in his sight. Because man would not be accepted by God in his natural state. Because dead in trespasses and sins is not meet. It's not, here's the word, fit. That's the word I like. I like that. You know why? Because if you're now, he makes you fit, it means before you was unfit.
Amen.
You were unfit. Now, I like what they said. Was it Scott? You got to fit the description before you can claim the promise. Can you claim that you know you were unfit?
That's
it. See, most people don't think they're unfit.
Exactly.
They think they're mostly fit.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them may think they're really fit. They're all wrong, but they think that. That's the beauty of humanity. Never underestimate the capacity of man to deceive himself.
Right.
And never underestimate the capacity of strong delusion that they should believe the lie.
Yeah.
Because that comes from God too.
Mm-hmm.
Still comes from God. Because hating the light and loving darkness is unfit. The other way this word can be defined. That's it. I lost the word for a minute. Is enabled or qualified?
Yeah.
We were unqualified.
Yeah. Yes, we were.
And the only way for us to be qualified is for him to make us qualified.
Yeah.
Wounds and bruises and putrefying sores from head to toe is unfit.
Yes, it is.
Is totally unfit. And guess what? It was every one of us. From the top of our head to the soles of our feet. And you know Paul was quoting the Old Testament when he said that. There's no difference between the Old Testament and the New.
Right.
It's just the amount of light that shined on it. And you know something else? A believer know that. An unbeliever don't get it. He's made us meet. He's made us qualified. You know, years ago, when we were at Brown's Road, and we had those song books there, there was a song in there, and it's a Christmas carol. And it's not in any of our books now. It's called Away in a Manger. And this was the one thing about that version in that book that just hit me hard, and I just really liked it. It's the last stanza of the third verse. And the way it read in our songbook was this. And fit us for heaven to live with thee there. Because it says now, most people say, and take us to heaven to live with thee there. Well, I'm going to tell you, he ain't going to take you if you're not fit.
Right, brother.
That hit me 35 years ago, whatever, 30-something years ago. That hit me and it stuck with me. And then I'm reading this and it's like, oh, yeah, that's what this is. Because if you ain't fit, you ain't going.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I understand. He picks up beggars off of the dunghill.
Yeah.
And he does it for the express purpose. I almost want to say the express written purpose. The express purpose to sit them with princes and kings.
Right.
So a little while back, I preached on Lazarus and a certain rich man. And Mason, you know, we talked about that, you know, where it said that Lazarus ended up in Abraham's bosom. Not that he just got a hug, you know. Well, that's my interpretation of it. But that's what it was. He was welcomed there in a place of honor.
Yeah.
Abraham met this old beggar. But I'm going to tell you something. That beggar wasn't wearing beggar's clothes.
Right.
Right. Not anymore. You know why? Because the angels carried him there.
Amen.
What that man was wearing, and I preached on this a few months ago, he was wearing the garments of salvation and the robe of righteousness.
Amen.
The garments, plural, and the robe, singular.
Right.
He was dressed appropriately. Why? Because he was fitted to be in Abraham's bosom. Now, since then, I have listened or heard somebody talk about this, because this fellow and I had a disagreement, only he wasn't there, about that being a parable or not. And he says it's a parable, and some people say it's not a parable, which would be me, because it says the name Lazarus. He said, well, the reason Jesus used the name Lazarus is because if he didn't, that parable wouldn't have made any sense. And I thought, all his other parables make sense without names.
Right.
And here's the other thing he forgot, and I didn't even mention it. This is what I'm going to throw in for free. When, not only in that account of the rich man and Lazarus, a certain rich man and a certain beggar named Lazarus, is Lazarus' name, but so's Abraham.
Right.
You understand? He never used anybody's names in any parable anywhere else. And here you've got Lazarus and you've got Abraham. Both of them, I believe, are real people. And here's the thing. What he did say was this, that in Abraham's bosom is just like what John was in the Last Supper. Okay? He was on our Lord's bosom. What it was is you ate in the Middle East back in those days. You ate reclined on your side with your legs sticking out. And the person who was right in front of the guest of the master, in this case, Abraham, that was said to be in their bosom. So, I don't see anything in there. It does say Lazarus was comforted. It doesn't say anything about him eating. But here's the thing. He was might have been sitting at a table with Abraham, the father of us all. That's a place of honor. That's a place of welcome. I still think Abraham gave him a big hug. I do. I do. He welcomed him in. Why? Because Lazarus was fit to be there.
Right.
Or he wouldn't have been there.
Amen. That's
right.
Because you and I may not know what we're doing, but I guarantee you the angels of God do.
Yes,
when they carried him to Abraham's bosom, that's because that's where he belonged. He was qualified to be there. He was enabled to be there. He was made fit for the inheritance.
What?
Of the saints in light. What's the inheritance of the saints in light? You get to sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom. By golly, that's fit. That's fit. And you know why you're fit? Because he's made us fit. He's made us fit. So how have we been made fit? I've mentioned it in the introduction. First of all, you have to be a new creature. And that's just the bald facts of it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, now that's a mighty big if. If any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. And don't take the creature thing wrong. It's a new creation. A new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Guess what? My Catholicism became old. and this book became new. And slightly understandable at first. I could understand what I could understand. But that's something else he gives you, his understanding. We'll get to that in just a second here. The old creature was not meat. The old creature is not fit.
Right.
But the new creature is. It's a new creation. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Now, how do you become a new creature? You can't, but God can make you a new creature. There's only one way. You have to be born a new creature. You have to be born from above, and you have to be born of God, and you have to be born of the water.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it says. John chapter 3. See, if you can't see the kingdom of God unless you've been born from above. But you can't enter the kingdom of God. What? Let me look, see if I can find it in this new Bible. Because I know this, and it's just like I still don't trust myself anymore sometimes. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The water and the Spirit. The washing of regeneration and the what? Renewing of the Holy Ghost. That renewing word bothered me a bit until I looked into it. No, make new.
Yeah.
To make new. What? You're a new creature.
Yeah.
Why? Because you've been made a new creature. Now, it's still you. You still got all those memories that you would rather do without. Some of them, a lot of them. It's still you. But you're different.
Right.
You're alive where you once were dead. You believe His gospel where you once might have hated it. You believe Him where you once rejected Him. Even if you didn't know you were rejecting Him. Because to accept another gospel is to reject the Christ. That's what they don't want to say. Because you better make sure the gospel is the gospel. Try the spirits to see whether or not they be of God. Why? Because if they're preaching another gospel, they're preaching a heresy. At best, they're preaching error. And what's it say? A little leaven leavens the whole lump. But don't worry, God hath made us meat. I like that. I do. I glory in Christ's work. His crucifixion, sacrifice, offering, redemption, resurrection, ascension, and new life from the Son for the believer. New life matters. The new birth matters. Circumcision doesn't.
Right.
Doesn't matter Jew or Gentile. Doesn't matter bond or free. Doesn't matter smart or dumb. Doesn't matter old or young, rich or poor. What matters is that He has made us meet. You are a new creature. Because only a new creature is fit for the inheritance of the saints in light. Secondly, I want to point out, not only are we a new creature, there's a reason we're a new creature. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16 says this, "Know ye not that ye are," right now, "ye are the temple of God." Now, I told you, I'm not going to boast on you, and I'm not going to boast on me, but we are the temple of God. And that the Spirit of God dwelleth. Present tense, continuing on, dwells
in you.
Yeah.
In you. You know what that does? I'm going to tell you something. That makes you meet.
Yes, it does. Makes you meet.
That fits you for heaven. It's not you, but it's in you.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it's not you, but He's in you. Said it that way.
Right.
We are the temple of God. The Holy Spirit lives within. That's what it means to be born from above. That's what it means to be born of God. That's what it means to be what the sanctification of the Spirit, which is what? Unto belief of the truth. Because I'm going to tell you something. Without the Spirit of God in you, you would not believe His gospel. Just consider your former self. The old creature you were alone before what? I'll give you a new heart.
Yeah.
A new heart. Wait a minute. And I'm going to put it in you. You don't have to open. He's not knocking on your door wanting to get let in. You understand? Because listen, folks. He owns the house. He's got the keys.
Right, yeah. Right.
He made you.
Yeah.
And if He's going to make you meet, He's going to give you a heart that understands what? Me.
Yeah.
A heart that understands. Not like that old heart you already had. Because that wasn't any good.
Yeah.
It was unfit. But the new heart is fit. We have the Spirit of God. Which also means we have the mind of Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Yeah.
Have you ever wondered why the big shots don't know what's going on?
Right. There you
go. It's been hid.
Right.
It's been hid to the wise and the prudent. Jesus Christ thanked God for it.
Yeah.
If they'd known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. And I've heard people stop right there and preach. See, you can't know. And I'm thinking, why didn't you read the next verse, buddy?
Yeah.
Well, they didn't want to.
Yeah.
Because the next verse brings up more problems than they can deal with. The next verse brings up more problems than any Arminian wants to hear in his lifetime.
Right.
But God hath revealed them unto us.
Yes.
Who's us? We're the ones that's meet.
Yeah.
He's revealed it unto those that are fit.
Unto
us, by His Spirit.
Yeah.
Which He just said in the next chapter, the temple of God, you are.
Yeah.
The Spirit of God's in you. He's revealed us unto by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man. I can put a period right there. But he put a comma. But.
Yeah.
The Spirit of God. So how do you know the things you... How do you people... I said this to Debbie in the kitchen. How do you people get all this stuff out of this Bible? Because it's given unto you to know the things of the Spirit of God.
Right. Amen.
Right. It's been given unto you. You've been made fit.
Yeah.
To know the things of God. You know, people of old have wanted to look into some of these things that we've got written here in black and white.
Yeah.
And that you can read, and by His grace, by His Spirit, you can understand.
Yeah.
Because we have the mind of Christ. That's what it says. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. See, the problem with the world today is they want to compare natural things to spiritual. And they want to compare spiritual things to natural. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Now, they are not foolishness, but they're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. What, he's incapable? Neither can he know them.
Right.
You mean he's not able? Neither can he know them.
Right.
Because they are spiritually discerned.
Amen.
So if you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you're not going to discern anything of the Spirit of God.
Right.
That's just the facts. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Well, that's a rhetorical question. Nobody.
Right.
But. Now, we can't instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Now, don't get excited about that word mind. It's not a cloned brain or anything like that. Like I said, you are still you. Because that word there is the same word at the end of Luke, chapter 24. When he says in verse 45, then opened he their understanding. That they might understand the scriptures. The scriptures. What? The scriptures are a thing of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
How are the scriptures written? Holy men of old moved with fear and wrote stuff down. What? According to the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Amen.
But here, then he opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. We have the understanding of Christ. Why? Because we have his Spirit. Because he's made us meet. That's how he's made us meet. This is actually a change in every believer.
Mm-hmm.
Give thanks to God.
Amen.
Give thanks to the Father. I mean, God has done so much for us, but he has also done so much to us. Because God has not left us alone in this world. No matter what you think, if you're a true believer, you have him. No matter what you feel, you have his Son. Our Lord Jesus Christ, if you're a believer. And no matter what man says, we have his Holy Spirit. You have his Holy Spirit. If you're a believer, because God has made us meet. And not only that, no matter what man says, no matter what men think, no matter what you think, no matter what you feel, he has given us each other.
Yeah. Yes,
Jesus. Our fellowship is with the Father, in the Son, by the Spirit, and with each other also.
Yeah.
You know, that's the beautiful thing about him making us fit. He has made us. Fit. And it's us fit. Not just you, not just me,
right.
Not just you, not just you. He's made us fit.
That is right.
Yeah. A believer never walks alone.
Amen.
He says before that in Colossians, I think, that we should walk worthy. Well, you can't walk worthy alone.
Right.
I'm sorry. Not even if you've been fit.
Right.
You can't walk worthy alone. You got to walk with him. You got to walk in the light.
Amen.
You got to walk in his word. You got to walk in his way. And you, if at all possible, I understand some people it's not. You're walking with other believers. And you will encourage each other. Why? Because not only have you been made fit, they've been made fit.
Right.
And that is a blessing from the Lord.
Yes.
Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and this place. Lord, thank you for making us fit, meet, enabling us, giving us your Spirit, giving us your Word. Lord, we didn't deserve any of it. And we don't deserve what we have now. But you have seen fit to give us everything, all spiritual blessings in your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.